wonderfully and wonderfully mindful and thankful for today. If you can, guys, I ask you to open your Bibles up to John chapter 14 this morning. We're going to read one quick verse as we stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and we're going to get into the second part of our message this week. And I do pray that God will richly and wonderfully bless you and help you through the preaching and teaching of this message. I trust that He will. He has helped me out so much with this particular chapter. This chapter has been near and dear to my heart for many years now, and I tell you what a blessing that it is. It's a great reminder for us to be able to get into the 14th chapter of the book of John. If you'll kindly stand with me just for one verse as we honor the reading of the Word of God, we're going to read John chapter 14. We can look in verse 1. We'll have a brief moment of prayer, and we'll sit down for a spell. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Father in heaven, again, we come to you this morning. We ask that you would please pour out your wonderful blessing upon the preaching of your word today. Lord, I pray that you would give unto your people that which they need the most at this present time. Lord, I pray that you would move upon each and every soul that is here within earshot this morning. Father, I ask that your mighty hand would rest diligently upon their heart. And Father, that you would guide our every step, dear Lord, that you would please give us markers along the road to be mindful of, Lord, to revert back unto this message here, unto this chapter, dear God, that you've given us by your pure and precious preservation of the holy word of God. So, Lord, I pray that you be with us for the rest of this service as you have already in the beginning. Please watch over us, dear God. I pray you bless your word to our hearts and our ears. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated if you. I want to get back to this morning into the second phase of our Christian Mindset series that we begin preaching this year. And we want to begin to look at the Christian mindset of influence. The mindset of influence. And just by way of introduction this morning, some may be sitting here or some may be out in the internet world, and they may wonder inside their heart, why should we become or be concerned, if you will, about being an influence? And beloved, it's a simple answer today. If you're here, you're saved and you're born again, or if you're hearing this message at some time and you're born again of the precious blood of Christ, the answer is simple. You are saved because someone influenced you in the manner of the Holy Gospel. Jesus Christ said unto them, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Beloved, you know, we understand that one person cannot physically go into all the world. However, he or she, that particular person, can go to the people in their circle. Their circle of what? Their circle of influence. Guys, never underestimate where God has put you or how he's put you somewhere. I believe in divine appointments personally. I believe in divine appointments every single day. Some of those divine appointments may be a simple wave, a simple how you doing, a simple have a great day, whereas other ones may be sat down and diligently witnessing the precious gospel to a lost soul and everything in between. So if you're wondering why you should be an influence, number one, you should be an influence. You should be concerned of being an influence to people today because Jesus Christ told us to preach the gospel unto every creature in this world today. And he has diligently, he has divinely placed you where you are for you to be a witness unto those people that you are around, to be an influence unto them. Now other people may say, what's the big deal about influence? I do what I want to do, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, and on and on and on. Beloved, whether we want to admit it or not, we are all influenced by others. One way or another, you and I are influenced by those that are around us. We must choose who and what we allow to influence us in our life and the decisions that we make. Beloved, primarily we want our influence to come from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to see in this entire second phase in John chapter 14 through 17. We are going to see how each part, each entity of the Holy Trinity is an influence unto us, enabling us to be an influence unto others. His precious word, guys, should move us. It should influence us in our life. And from there, our influence is determined, how we are influenced, is determined by what doors we allow to open up in our lives and us to go through. All of this should be working toward us having the Christian mindset of influence. You guys have heard me preach for years on end about what the label of a Christian. We find often, many a times, that people say, yes, I'm a Christian. I live in a Christian nation. May I say this to you here this morning? There is zero Christian nations in the world. There's not one Christian nation. The United Kingdom has never been a Christian nation. The United States has never been a Christian nation. Okay, the nations, far as that goes, ended with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen right there? Salvation in the Old Testament was primarily to one nation, the nation of Israel. The word heathen in the Old Testament actually means other nations. What does that mean? It means salvation was to one group of people. This group of people could proselyte into Judaism. That's true. But they had to meet a long list of requirements. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He died for every soul, man, woman, and child, no matter the race, no matter the tongue, no matter the sin. He died and paid their ransom. And that soul, no matter what nation they live in, can freely choose to be saved, born again of the blood of Christ. They can be born into heaven. But far as being born in a Christian nation, that does not exist and has not existed for nearly 2,000 years. Amen. There is no Christian nation in our world today. Whether we want to admit that or not, beloved, it is up to the individual believer today to be an influence to other individuals in each nation so that souls may be saved and born again. Amen. There's only three people in the world today. There is the Jew, there is the Gentile, there is the Church of God. The Church of God is made up of saved Jew and saved Gentile. So my friend, we need to choose who we allow to become our influence in our life. We need to choose how we allow our influence to be used in this world. The word Christian showed up for the first time in Acts chapter 11. And they were not given the label Christian because they were a member of the local independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist church. They were given the label Christian because of how they lived. It was their attributes, their actions. My friend, listen carefully. Right here, it was their attitude toward others that set them apart, and they said, those are those Christians, they're Christ-like. Amen. That's how they were first called Christians at Antioch, because Paul and Barnabas assembled themselves there for an entire year and taught them the ways of God, taught them how to live. My friend, he taught them to change the way they think, to have a mindset that was like unto Christ, and therefore, because of that and that alone, they were given the label Christian. I know many of people today, saved, born again in the blood of Christ, not living like a Christian and do not deserve that title. So let me say this, there is no nation that deserves the title as a Christian nation, only the individual that's made up in the body of the living Christ today. So my friend, what is our biggest struggle? What is the battle that we have in becoming an influence to others? Now, let me get a few things out of the way, and then I'm going to get into the meat of our text today. I understand some people struggle with speaking to other people. I get that. I understand clearly. There are some people that just struggle. They're just not public speakers, or they don't feel comfortable speaking to people that they don't know. There are introverts in this world, and that doesn't mean that's a bad thing. What that means is God's made that particular person to reach another person that's probably just like them, and God will use them in divine appointments in order to do so. But far as our obstacles that we face, one of the greatest obstacles that you and I face in becoming a positive influence, which also enables negative influences, is that of fear. Guys, we talked about this last week. Fear is a great and terrible and wonderful obstacle that is in the Christian's life today. It is something that makes you do things that you would never do. I mean, we gave an introduction last week on fear. We clearly saw how fear causes even the most devout man or woman to do, act, and say things that they never would in their entire life, all because of fear. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, I went over this in great detail last week, and I won't do that this week. But again, I want to remind you that the words fear and the words power are strongly contrasting one another within this particular verse. Strongly contrasting one another. And this word power that we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 It comes from a Greek word that we know as dunamis. It's spelled just like dynamite, or dynamite is how it's spelled. And it's where we get the word dynamite in our English language. It means strength and it means ability. I want you to notice that it's God who has given you and I the strength and the ability to not fear in this world today. Do you understand that here this morning? God has given us this power. He's given us the strength. He's given us the ability to not fear what man can do unto us. But this is what Jesus Christ said concerning the very same thing. He tells us it's in Luke chapter 12. You can read it from the screen. Jot it down in the margin of your Bible if you would like. But he says, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten of God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than the sparrows." Now there's a difference in verse 5 with that word power than there is in 2 Timothy. You see, this word power here that Jesus Christ is speaking of comes from another Greek word called exousia, and that means jurisdiction or all authority. When Jesus Christ said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth," that's what he was saying. All jurisdiction, all authority. Jesus Christ is the one that has power over eternal destination. It's the Lord who has the authority. He has the power over mankind's soul. And this fear that he is speaking of here is a healthy fear, not a fear of those in our life today. An inordinate fear of man, guys, will cripple you and I. It will cripple us from being an influence for Christ in this world today. And we've been given this power, that power that the Lord has spoken of, that strength and that ability to overcome fear in this life so that we can have an influence in the days that we now live, every single day that is. We have been given power and a sound mind to overcome this obstacle known as fear. You should be in John chapter 14 here this morning. And let's read the first 3 verses, which will be our text verses that we'll be looking at for the rest of this morning. John chapter 14, and read with me if you will, verse 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Beloved, I want you to know that the answer to your fear this morning, whatever fear you may have today, the answer to your fear this morning is directly dependent upon our relationship or your relationship with the Father in heaven. We find in John chapter 14 that the Father is mentioned 21 times out of 15 verses. It is relationship based. As a matter of fact, you find the Holy Trinity mentioned there in the chapter of the 14th chapter of the book of John in verse 16 and in verse 26. So, beloved, there's 4 things that we need to understand that should rectify or eliminate our fear today that is directly associated with our relationship with the Father. And the first thing that I want you to be assured of this morning, no matter what fear you may have, what is the worst thing that a person of this world can probably do to you? They can take your life from you, okay? Now, for a Christian, for a believer, for a saved individual today, life ending on this side of glory is nothing more than a stepping stone into the heavens to where we are wrapped in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I understand there's great sorrow with those that are left behind, and there is. There's terrible and great sorrow, heartbrokenness. I understand that. I mean, it would crush me. I clearly understand it. But beloved, for us to live a life in fear today that the Lord has already assured us that we do not have to fear what man can do unto us, that we do not have to fear of a person who can only kill, but have no power whatsoever of that which where the soul goes, him is who we should fear. So our fear of God, which is a healthy life-giving fear, should challenge us, should direct us in our life to get over the fear of man so that we can become an influence in people's life today. We should be comforted greatly in John chapter 14. We should be assured today, number one, about this fear is that we have a place. Look in verse 2 with me. Jesus Christ says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Watch what he says in the next handful of words. "I go to prepare a place for you." Beloved, this place is in the Father's house. Our Lord and Savior begins to unite our relationship with the Father, granting us comfort, granting us peace, granting us relief from the fear of mankind, because we are directly influenced by that relationship with the Father in glory, so that we can have the confidence of influencing others of the same. It's prepared uniquely for us. By whom? By the Son of God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may be saying there today, you may be asking yourself this question, saying, how does this handle my fear? How does this have anything to do with influence in any search of way? Beloved, did you know, I found this kind of unique. I found this kind of neat. Did you know that recent studies begin to reveal that that a person's home in our world today is considered to be part of their self-definition? That people self-define with that which they bring at their house. I mean, they say, people say, well, why in the world should we decorate? Think about this. We got a little garden at the house. I mowed it, I think it was Friday before we left. Did a little mowing, you know, that's whopping 5 minutes, you know. A little electric toy mower, it seems like, out there. I put some fertilizers and seed out to bring some of the grass. Daniel did the weeding while I was taking Denise and Darius up to the airport. And, you know, Nisi's got these beautiful roses out there. She loves them. She's got these big purple ball things that I don't know much about flowers, but they're beautiful. I love them. I think they're hydrangeas is what they are. It's a little one right now, but I love those things when they get big. I just do. I love them. But typically, you know, if somebody, so you don't find many people planting things in their garden that they despise. Last time I checked, nobody's planting dandelions on purpose. Amen. They try to get rid of those things. But here what they do is people begin to decorate their garden, which identifies with themselves. We take care of our lawns because it identifies with who and what we are. And if you think about it, this large patch of useless vegetation, it serves no real purpose. But a study revealed that it actually becomes part of a public face that people put on. They display their home as an extension of themselves. I believe today, my friend, as Jesus Christ is preparing a home, he's preparing a place uniquely for us, my friend, that there's comfort in knowing that we got a place in the Father's house where there are many mansions, a location which is directly and purposely and singly yours. A place that fits you exactly today. That's what Jesus Christ is doing for you. He is preparing a place for you today in the heavens that is going to be just for you, just for Preston, just for Wendy, just for Daniel, just for Daisy, just for Carol, hey, just for Terry, just for Denise, just for... Hey, that's what God is doing. Jesus Christ is doing that, and it's done so directly through the relationship with the Father in heaven. My friend, you should be comforted today, and your fear should begin to subside in this world today, because there's a place made for you, amen, in heaven. Secondly, not just a place, but beloved, we're given a promise. Now, we're given a promise. Look at verse 3. The Bible tells me in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." No matter how long we live on this earth, no matter what our life may entail, one day, and beloved, I believe one day soon. I understand that we've been saying that for years and years and years. I started preaching when I was about 25 years old, and I remember driving into the office, and I remember getting caught up, and I remember grabbing my steering wheel, and I got caught up in my mind at the rapture of the church, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and I looked down, and I was doing 95 miles an hour on Interstate 75, gripping my wheel like that, just because I got a little excited thinking that Jesus Christ was coming back. Beloved, I believe it will be soon. I believed it was soon back then. I believe it's going to be soon now. And if I live another 55 years, which would be a miracle, but if that happened, I'm still going to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He's coming back, beloved. Do you know why he's coming back? Because he promised it to us. Hey, listen, God is not a liar. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, amen. God is not a false teller. There's going to come a day, my friend, that he's going to come back. There's going to come a day when the Father himself, this is why it's so important for you to understand, But our fear is answered by the relationship with the Father. We can be an influence in this world when our relationship with the Father is what it should be. And there's a promise that Jesus Christ gave us. And it's because the Father Himself is one day going to say unto the Son, go get your bride. This is important. It's important for you to know that and to realize that. You say, well, why is that important? Why is it, when it comes to the relationship with the Father, why is that important? I'm going to read you a verse. It's not on the screen, but Mark 13, verse 32 says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, beloved, I realize doctrinally, Mark chapter 13, verse 32, is not speaking of the rapture of the church as we read about in 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 4, 1. But it's speaking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a difference, and you know that. Second coming is when Christ comes to set his kingdom up on this earth. But if no one but the Father knows when the second coming is going to occur, then no one but the Father knows when the Son's going to take away his bride. Think about that. If Jesus Christ knew when the rapture of the church is, all he has to do is add 7 years, and that's the second coming. There it is. Point blank, easy. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man but the Father in heaven. Why is that relationship so important with the Father? Because it answers our fear. Because Jesus Christ has given us a promise based on that which he has been given. And there's going to come a day when the Father is going to look at the Son and say, go get your bride. There's a promise that's been given to us, beloved. It's all based upon this relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that is the answer to our fear today. Thirdly, we find that why the relationship with the Father answers our fear is because it brings us power. You've heard quite a bit about this word power in the past 2 weeks. I understand that. But pick up in verse 6 with me. I want you to read the rest of these scriptures. We're going to read down to verse 12. Notice this right here, if you will. Verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto, watch this, the Father, but by me. If he had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen me. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than thee shall he do, because I go to my Father. Beloved, the works that Jesus Christ did while on this earth were incredibly tremendous. As a matter of fact, his works were so vast, so large, and so many that John was recorded saying that not even the world could even, he said, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. He said the entire world wouldn't be able to contain the books if you recorded every work that Jesus Christ did. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to say that's some power right there. I don't know about you, but to be able to say, Lazarus, come forth, and old boy gets up after being dead 4 days and comes on out, I think that's some power right there. Hey, that old paralytic guy for 30 plus years, he says, get on up, and he gets up and leaves. That old lady with an issue of blood for 12 years, and she touched the hem of his garment, and the issue of blood was yet gone. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, that's power. Hey, to feed 25,000 people, the Bible records it as 5,000, but that's only the men. And if you were to surmise a man, woman, and child, at least two children, you're looking at 20 to 25,000 people that could have been in that mix. And Christ took a couple loaves of bread and some fish, man, and said, here, let's go ahead and feed everybody. And on top of it all, had 12 baskets full. I don't know about you guys, but that's pretty much quite a bit of power, wouldn't you say? I mean, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. My soul, how is that even possible today? How in the world can we do greater works than raising the dead, causing the blind to see, healing the sick, enabling the paralyzed to walk? How in the world can you and I do that? It's because power we are given. And that power may not be to physically raise the dead. That power may not be to physically cause the blind to see. That power may not be to physically watch the paralytic walk. But that power is to influence others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who were once blind spiritually will now be able to see. Those who were once paralyzed spiritually will now be able to walk. Those who were once dead spiritually will now be able to live. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Now here's the key. How were we able to do this? Finish off verse 12 with me again. "Because I go unto my Father." If the Lord would have stayed here, if the Lord would have remained on earth, you and I would have had no power whatsoever. Our relationship with the Father would have been hindered if Jesus would have stayed on this earth. Beloved, if Jesus Christ would have been made king in this world today, it would have rendered us of no influence whatsoever in this world. When Jesus Christ was in Caesarea Philippi, and he said, "Who does man say the Son of Man I am? Who do they say that I am?" He's asking his disciples, and they say, "Well, some Jeremiah, and some Elias, and some one of the prophets." And old Peter spoke up and says, "But we know you're the Son of God. We know that thou art the Messiah, the Living Christ." Amen. Oh, Jesus Christ looked at Peter and said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven." There's that Father again. Jesus Christ, from that moment forward, spoke of the establishment of his church. It was yet to be established, amen. And he spoke of the suffering that he would have to pay. And Peter, just coming off a great and wonderful testimony, coming off a great and wonderful answer, God, the compliment was the man of the hour. He just says, "Let me take it a step further." He says, "Not so, Lord." Jesus calls him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan," amen. He's trying to hinder him going to the cross. Cross had to happen. Why am I saying that? My friend, if Jesus Christ would have stayed on this earth, we as individuals would have no power to influence the world. Jesus Christ said unto them, "For what shall it profit? For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange of his soul?" I understand that verse has been used many times for winning people to Christ. And a lot of times men will take it and say, "Well, you know, if you're a successful businessman and very wealthy, you know, you're going to lose your soul." And that's not what Jesus Christ is saying. As a matter of fact, that's not even the right page. This is not even a salvation verse if you want to look at it doctrinally. If Jesus Christ would have been set up as king and his kingdom would have come in at that very moment in Matthew chapter 16, in 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, and the sin curse of this earth would have been lifted and all great and wonderful things, yet Jesus Christ never paid the price for sin. At the end of that 1,000 years, every man and woman and children's soul would have been lost. And it would have went to a devil's hell. Jesus Christ had to die. He had to be buried. He had to rise again, ascend into heaven, for the power of the gospel to be true in our lives. Jesus had to return to the Father so the world would have the power of the gospel of himself, so that the world, so that believers today would have an influence upon others. The Bible tells me, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold," he says, "all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." My friend, the Christian mindset today is filled with power if you are going to buy into the mindset of influence. We are directly influenced by our relationship with the Father. It is the answer to our fear of mankind. It is the answer to our fear of uncertainty. It is the answer of our fear of the unknown. It is the answer of the fear of unkindness. It is the answer of the fear of unacceptability. But now, by such a relationship, we are given power. Bible says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Believing on his name, beloved, is believing on a name higher than any name in all creation. And there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray unto the Father by way of the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the way He instructed us to pray. This world, guys, they're not so much afraid of the name of God. They're not so much afraid of the name of Allah or the name of Buddha or the name of Ram. They're afraid of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They're afraid of the name of Jesus because there's a great influence upon us. It enables us to be an influence to others. It allows us to have the mindset to influence a world filled with negative influences in the life today. It enables us to give the word of reconciliation to a world that needs it greatly. And at times, it may not even want it, but my friend, it needs it. And we've been left here today so that we can partake in the promise of a place being made through the power that God has given us. Finally, beloved, our fear is answered and the mindset of influence is opened wide with opportunities in this life through our ability of prayer. Our ability of prayer. Verse 13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." May I say this to you this morning, beloved, that the Holy Trinity is utilized throughout the entire relationship with the Father. The power that you and I have been given, the promise that we have been blessed with, the place that is now awaiting us, is brought ever so closer to others by prayers of open doors for the Lord to use us and work through us in this life. Yes, the common go-to would be those that are closest to us. I understand that. And yes, we should look to influence those that are immediately around us. I understand that. But beloved, we have to keep in mind that it is the Lord who opens doors and not ourselves. And this is why we know the New Testament believer is a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood, because we have access to the Father in heaven. Can I give you a little tidbit today? Your daddy, your mama, your grandpappy, your nan, whomever it may be, did not give you access to heaven, but the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're a child of God today and you're fully and faithfully born again of the blood of Christ, if you had that moment in your life of dire conviction of your sins and your need of a Savior, my friend, and you came to that cross and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, only you can do it. Family can't do it for you. Friends can't do it for you. Foes ain't going to do it for you. But you did it yourself. You became a royal priesthood, which means gave you access to the heavens to come boldly unto the throne of grace. You don't need access point by a priest or a vicar or a pastor or a preacher or anybody for that matter, my friend. You can go to God at any time as a royal priesthood. But if you're here today and you're not saved, if you're here today and you're trusting the religion that you grew up with, you're here today, you're trusting the works that you may have been taught, if you're here today and you're trusting in anything outside of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are no royal priesthood, you have no access to the heavenlies, and you have no power, the promise is but a fading hope, and you have no place today. But there's one prayer that will save you. Beloved, you have different areas of influence in your life. And even those that are closest to you. And in all fairness, the Lord may open up a door for you in order to reach somebody else's family member and somebody else meets yours. He may open up a door for another to reach your family. Hey, listen, I don't understand how it all works. I just know this, that if I go to God in my private prayer life and I go to Him and I say, "Lord, will you please open up a door that I may be an influence to those in this world today, that I may be an influence to someone tomorrow, that I may be an influence to someone tonight. If you'll just open up that door, I promise you I'll go through it." He's never failed me yet. I thank God today that He opened up a door of salvation unto me at the age of 19 years old. It's hard-pressed to understand, to realize where I may have ended up. I guarantee I would not have been alive at 47 years old. I'm so thankful that God sent somebody my way to influence me to be saved and born again. And my friend, if you're here today and you fully and faithfully know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you can go back to that moment, that hour, that day, that minute, when conviction set into your heart, and you bowed your head or you bowed your heart, no matter where you were, and you accepted Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about a certificate. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about signing on the dotted line. And I'm not talking about listening to what somebody said. I mean you personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then today, you have a promise that'll get a prayer to heaven. And God will open up a door in other people's lives so that you may be a witness unto them, so that you may have an influence in their life. You can overcome fear this morning. You can overcome the fear of others, the fear of this life. You can overcome all of that stuff this day by simply giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's your greatest challenge this morning, beloved? May I ask you, what is in your life that's causing you to be fearful of others? What fear has set into your life that is enabling the influence of this world to come into your days? Beloved, you have to change the way you think. That's been the theme the entire year. But we've been given a place. We've been given a promise. We've been given power, and we've been given the ability to pray through the relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's through the blood of the living Lord Jesus Christ, which we have access through the abounding Holy Spirit inside of our life, inside of our body, so that we may ask the Lord to help us be an influence in the life we live. The Christian mindset of influence, beloved, is something that we should strive for every single day, every hour of our life. We should pray that God would use us in a marvelous way, just as others influenced us for Christ, that we may be an influence unto others in this world. But it all starts with who and what we allow to influence us. If you're allowing fear to influence you today, the fear of mankind, the fear of what's going to happen after death, then I'm asking you to question your relationship with the Father today, because that is the answer to your fear. Let's bow our heads, if you will. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for who and what you are today. And Father, I just want to take this time and this moment, before we shut off, before we close in prayer and say amens and sing a song and go to fellowship, dear Lord, I ask you that, if you will, if there be anyone within our midst right now, anyone that may be watching online, or anyone that may hear this a month from now, Father, if they know you not as Lord and Savior, and Lord, if their faith and their trust in that, what they were, is in that which they were told, Lord, I pray that you shake their faith up. Outward actions are evidence of an inward possession. Outward actions are the evidence, dear Father, of an inward unction. And I pray today, Lord, you move amongst your people. Lord, let us take this time, this moment right now, to bow our hearts, to come before you, to search our hearts right now of where we are with you. Help us overcome fear of this world today. Move amongst your people today, dear Lord. Move amongst those that know you not, that we may be able to overcome fear and become an influence in our lives for the living Savior. Father in heaven, speak to the people right now, if you will. We'll take a moment of silence, Lord, and just ask you to please move in a great way. We love you, Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.